Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
From VOA Learning English, this is As It Is. I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Anna Mateo. On today's show, we talk about two animals. One needs our help, and the other is helping us.
In the second half of today's show, we will hear about how an often disliked animal is making a part of the world much safer.
That's right. Rats are often blamed for spreading disease and destroying food supplies. But in Cambodia, trained rats are helping to find landmines. But first, we hear a report about bees.
A colony or group of bees lives in a hive. Entomologists, scientists who study insects, are working with other scientists to learn why bee colonies are dying in the United States. They call the problem colony collapse disorder.
Entomologists suspect that pesticides, chemicals that are used to kill animals and insects, could be the problem. Other reasons for colony collapse could be mites, very small creatures that live on plants and animals, or some kind of pathogen. Pathogens are bacteria or viruses that cause disease. Scientists are not sure.
What scientists do know is that colony collapse and dying bees is a bad thing. Bees play an important part in food production. People are volunteering to help these important insects survive.
VOA recently spoke with amateur beekeepers in Fort Wayne, Indiana, who are learning about honeybees and how to keep them alive. Amateur means unpaid and non-professional. Marcia James brings us that story.
Bees are needed to produce one-third of our food. That is why Megan Ryan is worried about their survival. Earlier this year, she created an apiary, a place where groups or hives of honeybees are kept.
Our hives are full of what's called Italian honeybees.
Italian bees are popular because they are not as aggressive as other kinds of bees, and they reproduce faster than other kinds of honeybees. In just 4 months, the apiary has grown from 10,000 to 70,000 bees in each hive. Alex Cornwell is also a beekeeper. He says over the past 10 years, both American and European hives have lost more than one-fourth of their population.
It's unknown exactly what colony collapse disorder is caused by specifically. But it could be a combination of anywhere from pesticides to mites to pathogens.
Every time they visit the apiary, Miss Ryan and Mr. Cornwell record information about the bees.
We would share it with the DNR, with other beekeepers. Any conservation effort, any organization that would like our records, we freely share those.
They also teach people about beekeeping. They want people to begin their own hives.
You don't have to be a scientist that has a degree in order to teach people and help people learn about bees. And that's the awesome part about beekeeping. Anybody can do it.
About 100 people have said they want to learn more about creating their own hives. Ms. Ryan and Mr. Cornwell say they will start a program to teach migrant workers about beekeeping so they can take that knowledge with them wherever they work. I'm Marcia James.
Thanks, Marcia. And now we will take a short break. Welcome back to As It Is. In the first half of the show, we heard how amateur beekeepers are helping bee populations in the United States. Now, we move on to rats that are saving human lives.
Experts estimate 20,000 people have been killed by landmines in Cambodia since the civil war ended in 1975. A landmine is a bomb that is buried in the ground. It explodes when someone steps on it or drives over it.
The organization that is leading the country's effort to remove the explosive devices is training rats to smell the mines. They use their sense of smell to detect or discover something hidden in the ground.
When the animals detect a mine, they scratch or make a mark on the ground with their paws. Then, workers called deminers are able to remove the deadly device. Jim Tedder brings us more on this story.
Experts estimate more than 1 million landmines are still in the ground in Cambodia. More than 100 people were killed in landmine explosions in the country in 2013. The Cambodian Mine Action Center is working to remove them. In addition to human deminers, the group has trained 15 Gambian pouched rats, a larger rat than many people have seen. Some people keep them as pets. They are said to be intelligent and have a strong ability to smell. The rats are trained in Cambodia to detect the smell of explosives in landmines. One mine detection manager for the group says he believes that when rats are used to find landmines, the demining operation goes faster, and the danger from exploding mines is sharply lowered. He says the rats work 5 or 6 times faster than humans. Rats can examine an area of 100 square meters in less than 20 minutes. A human deminer would need 4 to 5 days to examine the same area. In addition to working fast, the rats also do not weigh enough to cause a landmine to explode. Trainers begin working with the rats when the animals are just 1 month old. A non-profit group in Belgium sent the rats to Cambodia from Tanzania. A deminer and rat trainer says when he began his job, he watched how his manager trained the rats. He says now he can train them to find the mines by smelling the air around them. When a rat correctly identifies a mine by its smell, it scratches the ground and is given a banana as a reward. I'm Jim Tedder.
I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Mario Ritter. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is.
But don't go away. Coming up next on Words and Their Stories, we learn more about the word smart and if being a smart aleck is a good or bad thing.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
Now, the VOA Learning English program, Words and Their Stories. Today, we take a look at the word smart. If someone says you are smart, what do they mean? Is it a good thing or something bad? The answer is not as easy as you might think. This is because the word smart has many meanings. For example, someone could say you look smart or are dressed smartly. That means they like what you are wearing and your physical appearance. To use a slang expression, they could say you look really cool. But if something smarts, it can be unkind or hurtful, either physically or mentally. If you accidentally trip over a chair and fall down, you might shout, "Ow, that smarts." Or if a friend says something that hurts your feelings, you can say you are smarting from the hurtful comments. In fact, maybe that person is no longer your friend. If you are standing too close to a campfire, you could say your eyes are smarting from the smoke of the fire. Here, the word smarting means a sharp pain. But the most common meaning of smart is to be intelligent. If someone is smart as a whip, they are able to think very quickly. However, different people have different ways of being smart. Some people are considered street smart. They may not have a strong education, but they are good at dealing with people and problems in the real world. Other people might be book smart. This means they have spent many years in school, but they may not be so smart when dealing with people or real-world problems. And then there is the definition of smart that means to talk or behave disrespectfully. If you say something disrespectful to your parents, they might say, "Don't get smart with me." Here, smart means to show a lack of respect by saying something unkind. In fact, a child who has a smart mouth makes rude comments, not smart ones. This definition of smart can also be used as a verb. If you smart off to the wrong people, they could hit you in the face. And this leads us to the term smart aleck. If someone calls you a smart aleck, it might sound like a good thing, but it's not. Smart alecks are people who think they are smarter than they really are. Aleck is the short name for Alexander. You might also see it written as Alec, A-L-E-C, or Alex, A-L-E-X. For a long time, word historians thought smart aleck was a general term, not a specific person. However, an American researcher argued in 1985 that the expression smart aleck is actually based on a real man. Gerald Cohen used newspaper stories and other research to support his findings. He wrote that Alec Hoag and his wife Melinda were thieves in New York City in the 1840s. Melinda would bring men home with the promise of sex. While she kept the men, you know, busy, Alec would enter the room through a secret door and steal their money. Sometimes the men who were robbed would go to the police. But Alec Hoag reportedly paid some police officers to help protect him and his wife. But when he tried to cheat those officers of their money, they arrested him. They also gave him the nickname Smart Aleck, which means to be too smart for your own good. We leave you with a theme song from Get Smart, a popular spy show that ran on television from 1965 to 1970. It was also made into a movie. The spy, Maxwell Smart, was not so smart, but always seemed to beat the bad guys anyway. I'm Anna Mateo.
I'm Shirley Griffith.
And I'm Steve Ember with the VOA Special English Program, People in America. Every week, we tell the story of someone important in the history of the United States. Today, we will tell about Nat King Cole, one of America's most popular singers.
Nat King Cole was born in the southern city of Montgomery, Alabama, in 1919. His parents named him Nathaniel Adams Coles. His father was a Christian minister. When Nathaniel was 4 years old, his parents moved the family north to Chicago, Illinois. Nat learned to play the piano when he was very young. His mother was the only piano teacher he ever had. He gave his first public performance when he was 4. By the time he was 12, Nat was playing piano at his father's church.
Nat played piano in New York City and in Los Angeles, California, when he was a young man. In 1937, he formed a group that played jazz music. Oscar Moore played the guitar, and Wesley Prince played the bass. The trio reportedly did not need a drummer because Nat's piano playing kept the beat so well. They named the group the King Cole Trio. At the same time, Nat also changed his name to Nat King Cole. The trio soon became very popular. Nat sang some songs, but mostly played the piano. By the middle 1940s, Nat King Cole was beginning to be known as a popular singer as well as a jazz piano player. He was one of the first musicians to record with the new Capitol Records. The first song he recorded for Capitol was Straighten Up and Fly Right. He wrote the song. The words were based on his father's teachings. The song became one of the biggest hits of 1943. It sold more than 500,000 copies.
1, 2, 3, 4. Took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on the square. The buzzer tried to throw the monkey off of his back. The monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Now listen, Jack. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Ain't no use in diving. What's the use of jiving? Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top." The buzzer told the monkey, "You are choking me. Release your hold and I will set you free." The monkey looked the buzzer right dead in the eye and said, "Your story's so touching, but it sounds just like a lie. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top."
Nat recorded hundreds of songs. Some of the most popular include Sweet Lorraine, Nature Boy, Those Lazy, Hazy, Crazy Days of Summer, When I Fall in Love, and Mona Lisa. In 1950, the American film industry gave him an award for his recording of Mona Lisa. That song made him famous as a singer.
Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, men have named you. You're so like the lady with the mystic smile. Is it only 'cause you're lonely they have blamed you? For that Mona Lisa strangeness in your smile? Do you smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there, and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real, Mona Lisa? Are just a cold and lonely, lovely work of art?
By 1956, Nat King Cole was known internationally. He signed an agreement to appear for a lot of money at the Sands Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. Nat often performed in places that only admitted white people. Black leaders criticized him. Nat said he attempted to take legal action against those places, but often failed. Nat earned more money and moved to California. He bought a house in an area where white people lived. At that time, many white Americans did not want to live near blacks. White homeowners nearby protested the purchase of a house by a black family. Nat and his family refused to leave and lived in the house without problems.
Nat was the first black man to have his own television show. His show began on NBC Television in 1956. NBC agreed to support the Nat King Cole Show for a while. It hoped American companies would pay to sell their products on the show. However, major companies were not willing to advertise on a show that had a black performer. They were concerned that white people in the southern part of the United States would not buy their products. Many Americans watched the show, but NBC halted production after a year. Nat King Cole also acted in movies. The best-known one is St. Louis Blues. He acted the part of the jazz composer W.C. Handy. He also appeared in a film about himself called The Nat King Cole Story. In the 1950s, he sang with some of the best-known orchestras of the time. Here, Nat King Cole sings When I Fall in Love with the Gordon Jenkins Orchestra.
When I fall in love, it will be forever, or I'll never fall in love. In a restless world like this is, love is ended before it's begun, and too many moonlight kisses seem to cool in the warmth of the sun.
Nat King Cole was married two times. In 1936, he married a dancer, Nadine Robinson. Their marriage failed. In 1948, he married Maria Ellington. They had three children. They also adopted and raised two other children.
Nat King Cole always smoked a lot of cigarettes. He died of cancer of the lung in February 1965. He was only 45 years old. He received many awards during his life. He also received many more after his death. One was a 1990 Grammy Award for Lifetime Achievement. Nat's daughter, Natalie, followed her father as a singer. She recorded many songs after her father died. In 1991, Natalie Cole recorded an album called Unforgettable. It contains 22 of Nat King Cole's songs, including the song Unforgettable. Modern technology made it possible to mix her voice with a recording of her father singing the same song.
Unforgettable, that's what you are.
Unforgettable, though near or far.
Like a song of love that clings to me. How the thought of you does things to me. Never before has someone been more
unforgettable in every way.
And forevermore.
And
that's how you'll stay.
That's how you'll stay.
That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
Millions of Nat King Cole's recordings were sold while he was alive. And today, people around the world still enjoy listening to the music of one of America's greatest performers of popular and jazz music.
This special English program was written by Yenny Jahiden Groh and produced by Katie Weaver. Our studio engineer was David Boddington. I'm Shirley Griffith.
And I'm Steve Ember. Join us again next week at this time for another People in America program on The Voice of America.